My name's Jerry Harder. I'm one of the local Dharma leaders. I'll be leading, giving a Dharma talk this morning. And this is the beginning of the year. And traditionally, what we do at the beginning of the year in this tradition is, we first of all recognize the beginning. And we do something called taking the precepts and taking the refuges. And I'll be doing that. Some of you are familiar with that and some aren't. And for those who aren't, I'll explain it a little bit later. But it's a way of beginning. I often use do the refuges and precepts when I go on a meditation retreat. It's often the beginning. How do you set the stage? How do you kind of create that atmosphere, that grounding from where we're going to act from? How do we, come together as a group in commonality as Sangha? How do we make our connection? And that's the purpose of the refuges and precepts. And the refuges have to do with taking refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. And the precepts, many of you know, just refraining from causing harm. Basically being dedicated to not causing harm or caring for ourselves, for others. And if we can move from that space together, it's going to be a movement towards connection rather than a movement of divisiveness and separation. Movement towards caring for one another rather than a movement towards self-protection, fear, separation, accumulating for one's own. So this intention at the beginning of the year is really helpful. And I always respect it. I always appreciate it. I always appreciate it as a gesture at the beginning of the year and as a gesture at the beginning of a meditation retreat. So I'll get into the specifics of that at the end. I'll wrap up this meditation talk with the refuges and precepts. But hang on a second, I'm gonna set myself up here. What I want to do right now is talk about intentions. I often start a year, New Year's intentions, resolutions and such. And I really like doing that. I really like starting my year with making intentions. And I see it as a way to set the stage, as I mentioned before. It's a way of a focus, of bringing forth some attitude, some inclinations to act in a certain way, in ways that I feel connected with, in ways that I have some sort of aspiration towards. So Yogi Berra said, if you don't know where you're going, you'll likely end up somewhere else. And I've always liked that one. If you don't know where you're going, you're likely to end up somewhere else. And that's kind of the way it is. If we're not clear about where we're going, and intentions are a big aspect of being clear about where we're going. Another one I like is if you want to go somewhere, if you want to go somewhere, you need to know where you're starting from. I forgot who came up with that one. But yeah, that makes sense as well. It's like Google Maps. Where are you beginning? Where am I starting? What's Where's my location? What's the current location? With knowing our current location, knowing where we want to go, we can move along a path that's what's going to allow us to get, move, arrive in a place that is compatible with our highest aspirations. So the beginning of the year is a really nice time, I think, for making a particular note of a beginning and an ending. When I first started my meditation practice, I remember, yes, yeah, I went to the first retreat to learn how to meditate. They introduced something called markers. I'm sure, you know, I think Tim, Dwary, other teachers who are teaching beginning classes bring up this notion of markers. And markers are a place of mindfulness. It's something that we have that's used as a reminder to pay attention, to recognize and ask the question, where am I? How am I? So in meditation practice, you know, a marker might be, one favorite marker I would have is being mindful whenever I'm entering or leaving a room or a place. I open up a door. When I open up a door, I'm leaving something behind and I'm going towards something. And I'm at the current moment is at that threshold. So I stopped there. All right, what did I just leave behind? And maybe it was some sort of social gathering. Or maybe I was in some other activity. And what am I moving towards? And where am I? Recognizing that here I am. How do I know here I am? I know here I am by the sensations of the body, my breath. I can recognize how am I. I might be agitated, I might be excited, but bringing attention to that transition allows for this continuity of awareness. It allows for an understanding of one of the key teachings of the Buddha of impermanence, beginnings, endings, beginnings again. So I see New Year's Day, this New Year's time, as this opportunity. It's a beginning and an ending. It's an opportunity to just take stock. And I think in the past, yeah, we can end a year and we can think back and, oh my God, I'm glad that year's over. And we just want to move ahead. Enough, you know, I just glad that year's over. I hope the next year is going to be better. I can feel that at the end of a day. You know, I crash into bed. Okay, wow, that was a tough day. But I find it's helpful to reflect on the day, to reflect on the past year, and to really consider what was that experience. And if I'm reflecting at the end of the day, it may feel like, you know, a difficult day when I hit the sack. But when I think about back, I often recall just little pleasantries along the way, this little exchanges I might have had with a person, a smile, a bird landing in a tree, a sunset. You know, reflecting back, I think is really helpful to bring forth, you know, the different feelings that you've had, a sense of coming and going. This past year, as I did that, as I reflect over my year this past year, there's a number of things. Overall, oh boy, that was quite a year. COVID and climate change and how the year began and this and that and trying the difficulty with the weather. In overall sense, might be glad it's over. But when I think back about it, I find it's more a more richer experience. My year began early on. My sister-in-law died in the year. And my brother was left after about 50 some years of marriage. It ended. And that, I did a road trip with that brother across Wisconsin. And he's a big Trump supporter. Here we are in a car, and I'm not a Trump supporter. And it was an unbelievably joyful experience with a little tensions now and again. Nice to recall that. Nice to recall. I visited my nephew's baby, a newborn baby. I went to a wedding. It traveled. And so when I reflect back, the year looks a lot richer than it does. Just as a quick take. And I find that's helpful. And that reflection allows me to see the full range of what human experience is like. There's beginnings and endings. There is birth, aging, sickness, death. My own feelings are, sometimes very happy, sometimes very satisfied, and other times sad, angry, or frustrated, sometimes anxious, bored, body aches and pains sometimes feeling stronger. So all this stuff, I feel I can get a view of what life was like. So bringing to mind, I find that is helpful, bringing to mind the challenges. And I guess I would encourage you, all of us, to kind of look back at the year. What challenges did we have? Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe like you, maybe some of you, I'm sure, I know some of you. Some of my friends have very serious challenges. Friends, daughter was struggling with, cancer. That was looked like it wasn't going to end well. It has right now. So look at what are our challenges? What inspired you in the past? What kind of touched your heart? What are you grateful for? One thing we can be grateful for is that we're here. We're gathering at Sangha. What did you learn? I have a friend who shares my name, Jerry, 102 years old now. And I remember he planted seed in me quite a few years ago when he greeted me. He said, "Oh, what are you learning these days, Jerry?" Wow, what a nice greeting. What are you learning? I use that often. I find that I like looking back over the course of the year, or this past year. What have I learned? So anyway, I value that. So Philip Moffat suggests this as well, reflecting back on the year. And Philip Moffat was recently in town. And he says, he asked the same thing. What have I learned this past year? He asked, what's finished? What can I completely let go of? Been there, been with, may have been a challenge. It's done. I can move on. He asked, what's undone? Maybe we have loose ends. Yeah, we can all reflect on that. Just open that question up. I'm not sure what type of answers you'll come up with. Maybe a relationship is kind of, out of balance, or maybe some aspiration you have in terms of your creativity, there's room to move towards. And likewise, a question that Philip offers is, what's calling me? And this is a great question. This is a good one. What's calling me? And this is where, you know, we can have small intentions, but we can also have the bigger intentions, the aspirations. What are the things that are most important to me in life? Nice reflection. What do I connect to? What moves my heart? Where would I like to, what would I like to act on this coming year? And as we do that, it's important to bring that forth. And I find, I really like making intentions. I really like getting into intentions for the year. I've been doing it for many years. We all have intentions. I think all animals have intentions. Amoebas have intentions. I think they'll move towards light. They're inclined to move towards light and then, away from dark. Now, I even have a sense that, when I'm reading, what I've been hearing about is even like trees can have intentions, how the roots grow, and how a parent tree could support a new sapling of its own slime mold. It's incredible. I mean, there's ways that things move with a certain intentionality. Humans have a little more complexity about it. Because I think, I don't know what it is, but we certainly can pause and reflect. And rather than just move from conditioned intentions, we can move from intentions which are, intentional intentions. We can bring this in mind. We can strengthen our intentions. We can incline our mind more, be redundant here, but more intentionally. There can be a choosing and encouraging attitude towards it. And this is the value, I think, the value of having, really making intentions at the end of the year, the beginning of the year. Now, intentions have kind of a bad rap. I make intentions. I'm going to get in shape and do all this and that. And then I don't. And I end up blaming myself, not good enough. I noticed that I used to go to yoga class live. And January, lots of people, yoga classes are really crowded. A month later, not much of anything. Classes are cut in half as people got discouraged. And then I think what comes with that is, this guilt, shame, blame, and so forth. And so when I make my intentions, I like to make the intentions. They don't have to be made with any type of blame. We don't have to scold ourselves. It's an aspiration. Not a tyrant that we're inviting. I should just take a little aside here. But I had a conversation with my siblings by texting and everything, talking about intentions and so forth. And I get into it, like I say, but my brother Bob, his intentions last year was to ride his unicycle in a figure eight and to touch his toes. Those were his big intentions. And he was sorry to say that he failed at both of them. And so, he saw it as failing. And I said, okay, well, that just means put it as an intention again. If that's still important to you, do it again. I think years ago, I learned something about intentions. I think I used to be a heavy smoker. I used to smoke a pack a day easily. That was back in the 80s. And I used to quit for a while and then start in again. I quit, start in again. Every time I started in again, I just felt like a failure. One year, I set it up as rather than quitting for the whole year and quitting once and for all, I said, I'm going to just this coming year, I'm going to just not be a smoker for 30 of the days total over the course of the year. So it could be 1 week here, 2 or 3 days there, and so forth, but try to get to the point where I am not a smoker for 30 days. Thing there was, I saw that as doable. And I think that can be helpful. What's doable? What can be in your a possibility? As it turned out, I did that by December 15th. I still had 2 weeks. I had to quit smoking. And I said, okay, I'm going to do it. So there's a resolve. And I did. And I said, January 1st, I can be a smoker again. And I was. But I came out of that, all right. It was a small step, but it was the one in another direction, in the right direction. So I did that again. I did the same thing the next year. And this time I quit forever. So in terms of coming up with intentions, I found it's helpful to do things which are, you can say, are achievable. This is something I'm capable of doing. It would be a small step in the right direction, a first step. And it can be around any number of things. It could be a unicycle if you want, but you want to bring in some of your higher aspirations, maybe around your meditation practice. Rather than say, okay, I'm going to start meditating from now on, you say, I'm going to sit. I'm going to just sit. Maybe 5 times a week for 1 minute. Consider what is really achievable. What could I do? What could I have a reasonable expectation of doing? You can do similar things in regard to your health, in regard to some sort of creative ambition or aspiration you might have. You do the same thing in regard to connecting with others. Maybe you have a difficult family member. It's okay, maybe I'll do just this much. So setting things up so that they are possible, that they're worthwhile. They can be small things. They can be a huge ambition. But even if they're a large ambition, not set it up so that we end at the end of the year where we're just scolding ourselves and having one more reason to feel bad and then therefore go to the refrigerator and stuff ourselves with a bunch of food so we feel better. So we set ourselves up for success. So, yeah, these intentions can be small or big. And then if you're Mahayana Buddhist, some people take the Bodhisattva vow. They're in big time. And they are all in. And the Bodhisattva vow is one which is say, I'm dedicating my whole life and everything I do to the service of the welfare of others. All in. For the rest of all my iterations of future lives, that's what I'm doing. It's an impossible aspiration. And that's recognized. So when it's not accomplished in a lifetime, okay, good enough. I'd had a drop in the bucket. So you can take that on if you want. Look at that. It's kind of a fun one to look at, what the Bodhisattva vow is. It's kind of inspiring. Yeah. This is what Dalai Lama, Pema Chodron, Norman Fisher, and they all have that Mahayana tradition. So what's possible is the first step. A simple, I think rather than the Bodhisattva vow, I don't feel a need to go that far out. But I do like how Buddhist frame an overall top level aspiration, top level intention. And this is typically how the words are used. It's just to live my life, and this is the intention, to live my life for my welfare, the welfare of others, and leading to peace. Just that simple, that much. Take it that far. And then you act. My welfare, welfare of others, leading to peace. So you're taking care of oneself in the many ways that we can think about. Our health, our spiritual practice, our relationship to others. Taking care of others, not causing harm. Generosity, kindness. And all towards leading to peace. So this leads us to what we can do here today, and that is to take the refuges and precepts. Now we start out, so taking refuge, take refuge. And, you know, tomorrow, if you guys check in with Sam, so they'll expand this out a little bit. We don't have quite the time, and they'll likely go into the Pali terms, and we'll all be chanting together. They're not meeting in person. I just saw that mentioned, so it's all online tomorrow. But you can certainly tune in. So, taking refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, the three jewels. And what this means, we take refuge in the Buddha. And this is both Buddha as this wise human being who did the practice, meditation, investigated, and he pointed the way for inner freedom. Taking refuge in the Buddha is also taking refuge in the very notion itself that this is something that's possible for us as well. We too have this potential for full awakening. The second one is taking refuge in the Dharma. And this is the teachings of the Buddha. The teachings of generosity, compassion, wisdom, Four Noble Truths, Eightfold Path, Brahma Viharas. All these things, all these practices, all these views which support the movement towards full awakening, promote caring for ourselves and others, promote a life for ourselves and others that lead to peace. And the third is taking refuge in a Sangha. And historically, that's the Buddhist community over the last 26 centuries who practiced and modeled the teachings. And leading up to today, our own fellow practitioners, you know, the group of us, the 37 of us who are gathered here, 40 of us, I imagine, we gathered here, who can support and encourage us. I often find support. I'm sure, you know, most of you here are here because this is a supportive environment. So we take refuge in that. And if, then with this in mind, with refuge and intentions, we carry on particular intentions, and the particular intentions are the five precepts. So as many of you know, the precepts are not like rules or shoulds or something that has some sort of punishment if you don't, but rather they're precepts of compassionate intentions. Intentions to behave in ways that don't cause suffering or distress to ourselves or others. So in that regard, other people have no reason to fear us. We don't have to regret our words, actions. And so taking the precepts, again, not to avoid punishment, but rather to create ease, create clarity in terms of how we conduct our lives. So I'm going to read these. And as I do, kind of, you know, in your own minds, kind of follow along with this. And maybe repeat them to yourselves and taking these refuges or these precepts. So I undertake the training. That's the phrasing, a training, the training to refrain from. I undertake the training to refrain from killing or causing physical harm. Likewise, I vow to practice compassion towards all beings. Second one, I undertake the training to refrain from taking what is not freely offered. I vow to practice generosity. The third, I undertake the training to refrain from sexual misconduct. I vow to cultivate compassion and sexual responsibility, considering actions that interfere with an established relationship. You can be mindful of the pain, caused by broken marriages. When we bring to mind, how many times do we have to turn on the TV and watch one more guy behaving badly and the pain and suffering that causes? Refraining from sexual misconduct. Next one. I undertake the training to refrain from false or harmful speech. I vow to cultivate loving speech and deep listening. The idea of right speech, sometimes being quiet if necessary, or if that's the best thing to do. Right speech. Is it true? Is it of value? Can it be heard? Is it the time? Will it cause harm? And then the fifth is, I undertake the training to refrain from taking intoxicants or substances that cloud the mind and lead to heedlessness. I vow to ingest items that preserve peace, well-being, and joy. So, ending on that, the overall intention to live our lives for my welfare, the welfare of others, and leading to peace. May we all have a happy new year, a loving new year, an awake new year. And it's good to start this year with you all. See you many times in the future here. I went a little bit longer than I wanted to because I find it's really helpful to meet in groups. And so I'm going to set up breakout groups, move right to that. And I want to open up the door so that in these groups, you can, if you don't want to participate in that, that's fine. If you want to hang out in the room, that's fine. But I encourage you, even if you go there just to listen, again, up to you. So just to have bringing into the breakout room, the reflection of, you can take this different ways. How was your past year? Maybe you have an aspiration. Maybe you can share an aspiration. Bring that out loud. You want to, write. You want to, play a musical instrument. You want to, go on a meditation retreat. You've never done that. Maybe a weekend retreat. Maybe a week-long retreat. Maybe a month-long retreat. I had that one on my list for year after year after year. And finally I said, it wasn't like I said I would, didn't judge myself for not doing it, but it was nice to keep our aspirations alive as a reminder to strengthen that intention. So I'll set up the breakout rooms. I'm seeing people chatting as they leave. Have a good day. Good to see you all. So I'm seeing about 31 people here left. I'm gonna come up with 10 rooms, and hopefully that will work. You know, take about 15 minutes here. Okay, I think we're all back. Well, any thoughts? How anything that comes forth? Anything that came out of your groups that anybody would like to share or thoughts about just today? You raise your hand.
Hi, I'm Sharon, and
Sharon.
I just really want to thank you for this wonderful Dharma talk. I took all these wonderful notes, and you just gave me so much. I was kind of down in the dumps, probably for the last couple of years, and this gives me some hope and a little worksheet to work on. And I just thank you from the bottom of my heart and from the top of my heart and the sides of my heart. And I thank everybody for being here too. Thank you all. I love you all.
Well, thank you, Sharon. Okay, that makes my day, huh? That's all I need. That was worth that right there. It made worthwhile showing up. So thank you. I hope it's supportive of you. Great. Other folks, they have anything came out of their discussion or thoughts for the beginning of the year or aspirations. Anybody have an aspiration? I don't know. What's anything that they're looking forward to? I see a hand, Charlotte.
I think Leia's first and then Charlotte.
Oh, I missed for some reason.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. I'll go with that. Leia and then Charlotte.
Hi, everybody. Happy New Year. Thank you very much for the talk, Jerry. That was just beautiful. I really love the image of the amoeba. Like everything has an intention and towards the preciousness. It's just really, for me, it's about the preciousness of life. And in celebration of the preciousness of life this year, I just want to put it out there that I'm a writer, and I want to actually practice writing, whatever that looks like. And I'd like to be published and to share my inspiration and my learning and growth with the world. So yeah, I'm excited about that this year. Thank you. And the amoebas. I actually just wrote about an amoeba in one of my essays. So thank you.
Okay.
Yay for the amoebas.
Thank you, man. Charlotte, go for it.
Yeah, thank you for that talk, Jerry. My aspiration is to be in contact with my distant friends better. You know, I message some people, and it's not very often. And so I really want to be more involved in their lives, and I had a group of friends, women friends, that we met once a month, but because of COVID, we have kind of fallen apart. So that's my aspiration, is to reconnect and connect more with my dear friends. Thank you.
Nice, Charlotte. Thank you. Jacqueline.
My aspiration is to,
Kathy.
I want to express gratitude to at least one person every day. And one way I've been doing that lately is I've been having the chemical hand warmers in my pocket, and I've been like handing them out to letter carriers and people driving package trucks and all that. And that's it's been a very nice practice.
Wow, nice. I like that. Thank you. Thanks for sharing that one. Others, aspiration or hey, you know what? One thing before we leave today, Arv's going to be doing a meta talk at the end, so we don't have a lot of time. But maybe as a farewell, when you leave today, put in a one-word aspiration, or something like that in the chat, or say it to everybody out loud, just that little bump. And so anybody else, one last one, and our kind of close us down. Okay, Lillian.
Yeah, thank you. Something that came up in our group, I think, was a sense of gratitude for the Sangha and a sense of aspiration toward being more, even more present and even more more aware of our gratitude for being here. And I think it helped me kind of put into perspective, like, the support that I get from this group and how grateful I am for you all. And I think kind of braided along with that, how difficult it can be for me to have a weekly practice, and how easy it can be for me to fall off of a weekly practice. And I think, you know, as difficult as it is sometimes to show up, I think you all being here motivates and inspires me to do that. So I think that just kind of helped open my eyes a little bit during our discussion. So thank you.
Nice, Lily. Oh. Well, I wish we could go on. But that's where we are right now. I'm seeing all kinds of nice chats come up. I don't know if you've been reading those. I'm going to go over through the, you know, listen, create, connect, zest, discern, aspirate, steadiness, gratitude, connect, just, boy, let's do that, huh? Wholeness, smile.